Come hither, fool.
The fool jingled miserably across the floor.
Tell me, fool, does it always rain here?
Marry, Nuncle.
Just answer the question,
said Lord Filmot with iron patience.
Sometimes it stops, sir, to make room for the snow, and sometimes we get some right squandering, orgulous fogs, said the fool.
Orgulous?
Said the Duke absently. The fool couldn't stop himself.
His horrified ears heard his mouth blurt out, Thick, my lord, from the Latatian orgulum, a soup or broth.
But the Duke wasn't listening. Listening to the prattling of underlings was not, in his experience, particularly worthwhile.
I'm bored, fool.
Let me entertain you, my lord, with many a merry quip and lightsome jest.
Try me.
The fool licked his dry lips. He hadn't actually expected this. King Verence had been happy enough just to give him a kick or throw a bottle at his head. A real king.
I'm waiting. Make me laugh.
The fool took the plunge.
Why, sir? He quavered. Why may a cordled fill horse be deemed the brother to a Hiron candle in the night?
The Duke frowned. The fool felt it better not to wait.
Withal, because a candle may be greased, yet a fill horse be without a fat argia, he said.
And because it was part of the joke, patted Lord Filmot lightly with his balloon on a stick and twanged his mandolin. The Duke's index finger tapped an abrupt tattoo on the arm of his throne.
Yes,
he said.
And then what happened?
That, was by way of being the whole thing, said the fool,
and added, My grandad thought it was one of his best.
I dare say he told it differently,
said the Duke. He stood up.
Summon my huntsman. I think I shall ride out on the chase, and you can come too.
My lord, I cannot ride.
For the first time that morning, Lord Filmot smiled.
Capital,
he said.
We will give you a horse. That can't be ridden.
He looked down at his bandages, and afterwards he told himself, I'll get the armourer to send me up a file. A year went past. The days followed one another patiently. Right back at the beginning of the multiverse, they had tried all passing at the same time, and it hadn't worked. Tom John sat under Howell's rickety table, watching his father as he walked up and down between the lattice, waving one arm and talking. Fatolla always waved his arms when he spoke. If you tied his hands behind his back, he would be dumb.
All right, he was saying. How about the king's brides?
Last year,
said the voice of Howell.
All right, then. We'll give them... Mallow, the tyrant of Clatch,
said Vitola, and his larynx smoothly changed gear as his voice became a great rolling thing that could rattle the windows across the width of the average town square.
In blood I came, and by blood rule. No one will dare essay these walls of blood.
We did it the year before,
said Howell calmly.
Anyway, people are fed up with kings. They want a bit of a chuckle.
They are not fed up with my kings, said Vitola. My dear boy, people do not come to the theatre to laugh. They come to experience, to learn, to wonder.
To laugh, said Howell flatly. Have a look at this one.
Tom John heard the rustle of papers and the creak of wickerwork as Vitola lowered his weight onto the prop basket.
A wizard of sorts,
Vitola read.
Or please yourself.
Howell stretched his legs under the table and dislodged Tom John. He hauled the boy out by one ear.
What's this? Said Vitola. Wizards, demons, imps, merchants.
I'm rather pleased with Act Two, Scene Four,
said Howell, propelling the toddler towards the prop box.
Comic washing up with two servants.